Good morning. It is the Tuesday FLX morning. It's 8:38, and it's time to get healthy with your medicine, Finger Lakes Health. And that means, of course, Laura Turbide's here. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeff.
So any news or notes from the health system these days? I know we're into flu shot season. It's obviously, we talked last time, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Get your screening mammogram, including you, young lady.
I do. I need to get in there. I need to just call my place and get there. So yes, thank you. It is a Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We love to be out and about and doing some education. That's what we're going to do today. Of course, a reminder, we have a lot of online appointment scheduling now for so many of our practices. Encourage you to use online scheduling, because we know how busy it is for people to be busy, but also our practices are busy on the phones. So we've heard that online scheduling makes it really convenient. We've, of course, I can't remember the exact date, but I know we've had blood drives going. There's always seems to be a lot hopping at the health system.
On Thursday, we have community mobility screening.
Thank you.
Both at Geneva General and Soldiers and Sailors.
I'm so glad I came so you could tell me what's going on at our place. So thank you. And we do. And I'm just always, more than anything, just a huge shout out to our team. If nothing else, from long-term care staff to acute care staff to outpatient staff, I just am always, I think, literally awe-inspired by how hard they work, how much they care, and how much they love practicing and caring for people in their own community. And that's part of what we're going to talk about today.
Before we do that, I'll just ask you one more question, and that is, would you like to brag on your amazingly intelligent and dedicated daughter for a moment?
Oh, always. She's doing well. We want that kid to come back home, but yeah, she's in her first year of residency in Buffalo, doing great, and we wanted to come back here and practice.
Working roughly 120 hours a week.
She is
working. Boy, I don't know how people do that.
And she's learning a lot. She's learning a lot, and that's what it's all about. So we're thrilled, and I just hope she same thing. I think she, seeing it through her eyes makes me realize, too, the devotion, the dedication that our clinical staff and all of our staff have, our housekeepers, our nutritional service folks. You just see people who keep this going 24/7 and literally put patients and residents first with everything they do. And seeing that through her eyes in a whole new way gives me an extra deep appreciation. I hope I've always had an appreciation for our team, but seeing it and knowing what people go through to get to this place and how much they sacrifice on the side with their own families makes me realize how lucky our community is to have such great health care.
You've heard me say 100 times, I love our old friends that we've been talking to for years, and I love our new friends when we meet them, and we have a new friend today.
We have a new friend, and I got to meet her today, too, and we're so, so thrilled that she has joined our health system. It sounds like, you know, when those things are just meant to be, and there's been some points in time where we've sort of passed in the night, and she wasn't at our place yet, but she is now, and that's what matters. So Michelle Curry is an occupational therapist. She is joining us, and she lives locally, and is now joining us both at Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Hospital as well as at Geneva General Hospital as an occupational therapist, and has a specific skill and talent. We'll hear a little bit more about her background, but we're going to talk about lymphedema today and how important that is during Breast Cancer Awareness Month to talk about what it is, what you can do, and the fact that there's treatments and relief. And we were just talking about the patient's quality of life and some of the patients who've been particularly inspiring to you as well as touching for you, knowing that you can actually use your skill, your knowledge, and help them to go through a difficult time and actually get through it with way better quality of life. So we're going to talk about that, but I know you always like to talk to them about what they're doing.
Right. I'm sure Laura warned you that I would give you the first-timer biographical grilling. So tell us all about you and what brought you into medicine, and particularly occupational therapy or physical. Is it OT or PT?
OT.
OT.
OT, yep. So my mom used to work for a pediatrician, and she would tell me about some of her patients that would come in with special needs. And I used to think I wanted to be a nurse, but then when I was learning more about them and I did some shadowing and stuff, I realized how creative occupational therapists got to be. And so I decided to go to school. I actually went to Cuca College many moons ago. I am an occupational therapist, and I've worked primarily in the geriatric population my entire career.
All right. So before we talk about lymphedema, let's talk about lymph fluid and lymph nodes and the lymphatic system. What is it and what does it do?
The lymphatic system is very vast. It runs all throughout our body. We have a concentration of lymph nodes in various parts of our body, including underneath our arms, in our groins, in our bellies. We have hundreds of them in our face and our neck. And there's lymph vessels that run throughout our body that all eventually run into the lymph nodes. And then it connects through the thoracic duct that goes up the center of our body. And it carries all sorts of things like white blood cells that help us fight infection, interstitial fluid, all that good stuff that our body tries to process and get rid of and keep us healthy.
So lymphedema is when that fluid pools up in places where it's not really supposed to be. I know from my own personal experience with my wife, chemotherapy is one cause of that. What are some other causes? What causes those fluids to pool?
There's a variety of things. Cancer is actually the number one cause of lymphedema in the United States. Breast cancer, one out of every five women typically end up with some form of lymphedema. But if someone's had surgery, and it doesn't just have to be cancer-related surgery, radiation, chemotherapy, and a severe injury, there's a variety of things that can cause it.
Does it matter the type of breast cancer as far as the incidence of lymphedema, BRCA positive, negative, any of that stuff?
It does not discriminate.
No. Okay.
What about, does it matter if you actually lose, like if lymph nodes are impacted the surgery? Is that part of it? Sort of it changes the path?
Yes.
Is that, so it's anything that starts to change that path of how, where and how that fluid flows is ultimately what's going to create a different flow, which could then create these pockets of...
Correct. Okay. Correct. Yep. So if someone has had surgery for breast cancer and they've had multiple lymph nodes removed, or they've had surgery and then they've had an infection and had to go back in and have another surgery, anything that disrupts that path of flow puts someone at risk for it.
So how does working with you, that's what I'm kind of curious, once that is interrupted, how do you impact that?
So our body is pretty cool. The lymph system is actually broken up into four separate quadrants in our body, and when there's an interruption in the flow, we can do a massage that's called manual lymph drainage to kind of reroute that fluid around the area that's been damaged or injured, and help the body reabsorb the fluid and get rid of it. So it's manual lymph drainage followed by some compression, and that varies for people. Sometimes it's bandaging, sometimes it's just wearing like a compression sleeve or a stocking. And then there's exercises that we give the patient too that are specifically designed to stimulate that lymph system to get it to go where it needs to go and exit the body. And skin care, meticulous skin care is very important too, because anytime you have stagnant lymph fluid, it's not moving all that stuff that it's supposed to. So you get a little cut or a little bug bite, now all of a sudden you have an open area in your body that makes you more susceptible to get an infection. And your body can't get rid of that stuff as much when you have the lymphedema. So you get an infection that in its own, you know, can run risks of developing further lymphedema or other complications as well.
We actually went through the massage therapy at Geneva General with one of your predecessors. I wish I could remember her name. She's an excellent young lady that really helped. So when you do that massage and the compression, what prevents the fluid from just winding up back where it was? What stimulates the system to start rerouting it to new places and more toward normalcy?
Compression is the number one thing. You do the massage to move the fluid, and then you put the compression on to make sure that fluid doesn't come back. And there are some people that have to be in compression, you know, 23 hours out of 24 hours a day, and there are some people that are, you know, luckier and maybe only have to wear a sleeve or a stocking when they're being very active or exercising, just to kind of prevent that reaccumulation of fluid.
Now, on the Finger Lakes Health website, flhealth.org, it talks about one option being manual drainage. Is that an option that's a good one for many people or only certain people? And how does that work?
Everyone. So okay. Manual lymph drainage is the massage.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking like sticking a needle in and draining it out. Okay.
No, we don't want to stick needles someone has lymphedema, because again, now you're creating an opening to the skin. So especially people that, you know, have had breast cancer, and let's say, you know, they've had their left breast removed or something like that, you never want to get sticks on that left side, because it's an opening now when you're creating a, you know, a possibility for a breeding ground for bacteria. So
now that's why I did not know that about things like mosquito bites and things. I mean, I know obviously with my wife, when she gets a vaccination, it's on the other arm. Yep. I don't remember which one it is that was affected, but
yeah. And once you have that rerouting happening, is it something where the compression just has to be regularly? Is it something sporadic, or is it something that once you've had that and you need the compression, you really need it pretty much moving forward, because for whatever reason now it just has that tendency to
Yeah, it unfortunately, lymphedema is a lifelong condition. It's very treatable. However, there's no cures for it. There's been a lot of advances in the past 5 to 10 years with microvascular surgery. They're trying some new drugs and things like that, but unfortunately right now there's no cure. So lymphedema, and that's why it's really important to catch it early, because if we get it early on, then hopefully it doesn't progress to the, you know, the elephantitis stage where the limb is really big and things like that. And I really encourage people, if they've been diagnosed with cancer, to see a lymphedema therapist prior to any treatment, so we can get a baseline on, you know, your, for example, breast cancer on your on both of your arms, because sometimes you may not see the swelling, but the measurements don't lie. So I always encourage people to, you know, start even before any kind of treatments. And then once they've started treatments, to kind of come back, you know, every 6 months to do redo those measurements and make sure and pay attention to the signs and the symptoms, the heaviness feeling, the tingling, the aching, and things just kind of feeling tight, so we can catch it and treat it and prevent it from getting worse.
So then if you have those compression garments, do they have to change size from time to time if they're working? For example, I assume it might start to get a little bit loose and you need a new one.
Typically we like to, the initial phase is the real intensive, you know, usually the bandages or kind of some short stretch garments that we use. And then we put you in a compression sleeve that will maintain it, but there's people do experience fluctuations, and sometimes if, you know, someone's sick or, you know, maybe they're overexerting themselves, repetitive activities can put you at risk for a flare-up, then sometimes we may have to, you know, kind of go back to square one and start the more intensive treatment again. But hopefully, if, you know, the patient's doing the exercises and doing their massage and things like that, we can kind of keep it contained and not have to change things too often. And usually a garment lasts about 4 to 6 months with typical wear and wash.
I always like when people in your discipline come in to talk about the difference. What's the difference between PT and OT?
So PT focuses more a little bit on mobility and kind of gross muscle movement and balance, while OT focuses more on the functional aspects of someone's life. So making sure they can get dressed in the morning, making sure they can, you know, make meals for themselves or their partner, all those functional aspects of life.
All right, Michelle, thanks very much. It was great to meet you. I learned, I've been dealing with lymphedema in my family here now for 14 years, and I learned new things about it today. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Laura, thank you as always.
Thank you, Ted.
Say hi to your daughter when you see her, and she probably doesn't remember me, but that's
no,
all right.
No, she absolutely does, and I will.
Thank all right, thanks very much, and we'll do this again in 2 weeks. We'll keep getting healthy here until I get it right. It's 8:51 FLX Morning.